We're talking about starts taking that first step of faith if you've not yet done that, but then take that next step of faith as well. That's what the series is all about, bringing intentionality into our growth as followers of Jesus. So start gathering more. Be countercultural to the world that we live in. Swim upstream. Gather with God's family. Start connecting more. Bring purpose into your relationships. And today we're going to talk about start serving more. Start serving more. Now, this 9/11 weekend should remind all of us that service is something you celebrate and you honor. Service is an honorable calling. Service makes a difference. Service even saves lives. And the images of faithful service are especially poignant this weekend. Service is the firefighter who rushes into a disaster while others run away. Service is the soldier who takes up the good fight. Service is the medical worker who tirelessly strives to bring life and health to those that are stricken. Service are the educators who push through exhaustion and frustration, and yes, even politics, because they know what they are doing matters. Service includes the host of first responders who protect and defend and keep the peace. And listen, we could go on and on about people who serve, moms and dads who sacrifice and engage daily on behalf of the good of their kids. Service like grandparents who pour into the well-being of the next generation. Service like public servants and elected officials and church leaders and coaches who faithfully serve others. Service is the very thing that is in the background of every one of your favorite stores and favorite restaurants. It is someone who has served you well. Service is the high honor, and God's word declares it to be so. Peter put it this way: God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Paul wrote, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. And Jesus said, the greatest among you must be a servant. So what I'm here to tell you today is start serving more in all of your life. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. And while you're finding that passage, let me introduce myself to you. If we've not yet met, my name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. And if we've not had a conversation, I would love to meet you in the commons. And also, let me invite everyone to fill out our digital connect card. You can access it through scanning this QR code, or you can find it on our church app, or open up that church email or text that you may have received this morning. And if you didn't get that, you can always sign up for that. And if this is your first or your second time to complete this digital connect card, you're about to be a blessing for someone. We partner with several local ministries, and each first or second time digital connect card that is completed, we give an additional $10 gift to that ministry partner. So let's look at this passage in Mark chapter 10. Now, we're going to start reading in verse 41, but listen, it's always important that you set the context of what you are reading. And so I want us to go back to the beginning of chapter 10 and begin to see what is happening in this chapter. As I was reading this chapter through this week, this thought kept hitting me over and over again. This chapter is describing the upside down kingdom. The upside down kingdom. It's like one quick snapshot after another, one quick picture after another, and it's teaching us how the kingdom of God turns this world upside down. And in story after story, what you see Jesus do in this chapter is he just flips the script. He just keeps flipping the script. Let me give you an example. It begins in Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. If you have your Bibles open there, you can see that there's a discussion about divorce and marriage. Now, the religious leaders bring up this sticky topic of divorce. What does God really expect? Now, the truth is, they weren't interested one little bit in the topic of divorce or marriage. All they were interested in was that they wanted to trap Jesus. So Jesus answers them and essentially reminds them, instead of you focusing on all the loopholes about splitting up, why don't you put your energy into what it means to be coming together for the glory of God? That's how he answered them. I'm sure if they'd had grace marriage, he would have told them register for grace marriage as well. That's for free. They had a backward way of thinking. Then he goes in verse 13 to this encounter where children are brought to Jesus. And the disciples see those children as being a bother. They are a burden. They are a disruption. And they're like, Jesus doesn't have time for this. And let's just be honest. Kids can be a heavy load at times. But Jesus is going to flip the script. He tells them, those children are not a burden to you. They are a blessing before you. He flips the script. The next story is the story of the rich young ruler, and then the disciples, they get into this discussion about possessions and rewards and all of that. And you might remember the first question that the rich young ruler brought to Jesus. He said, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus is going to flip the script on him. He tells him, it's not about what you do. It's not even about what you get. Eternal life hangs in the balance of giving your all and giving yourself away. And that's what he calls him to. He flips the script. In verse 32, then Jesus begins talking to the disciples about how he's going to lay down his life. And the disciples, they get all confused here. And they begin talking about, I wonder which one of us are going to be called the greatest. And once again, Jesus turns their confusion on its head and he teaches them, listen, life is not about your glory, your prestige, or your greatness. It's all about your service. Now we're ready to read, because all of that's the background. Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 41. And when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them together, and he said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, I came to serve. Could it be any clearer then that if we are a Jesus follower, our purpose is likewise to serve? The way up is down. So the question I want us to explore today is, what does serving require? What does serving require of you and me? And the first thing it requires is this. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. Look at the distinction that Jesus proclaims among his followers. There in verse 43, he said, but among you. In other words, service isn't an option if you're a part of the Jesus crowd. The implication is that in the community of faith, it should be different. than what you see in the world around us. We are to be distinctive. We are to be different. And the thing that sets you apart, the thing in you that puts Jesus on display, is how you serve and live out this call to service. We are to be distinctive. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but you're not like that. You're a chosen people. You're royal priests, a holy nation, God's own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. In other words, Peter is echoing Jesus' words that what you do and how you serve is the very thing that puts Jesus on display. You are not like the world. You are to be different. You have been called. Know who you are, because of who you are in serving is what puts the goodness of God on display. Service matters in this world. It does to all of us. Listen, I experienced the most incredible medical service when I had my heart attack. Did you guys know that I had a heart attack? Just thought maybe you hadn't heard that. Listen, one of the great things that can come out of my heart attack is you're not going to have to hear my stroke stories anymore, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm still going to tell those too, all right? Yeah. But let me tell you, I had the most incredible service. From the ER at Jenny Stewart to the Life Flight medics to the heart cath lab over at Tenova to the nurses in the ICU floor, I couldn't have asked for better, faster, more compassionate service. They all had a job to do. They all did their job, and it made a difference. But I want to tell you about a guy who stood out today. There was a guy who was one of the flight medics. And let me tell you, we're flying across from here over to Clarksville. It's just the most beautiful. Y'all got to do it sometime. I'm telling you, it's just beautiful. You ought to do it sometime. But this guy, this medic, he was like a chatty Cathy, just talking the whole time, talking to me, asking me all these questions. What he was doing is he's monitoring my pain, wanting to know exactly how I'm doing and all of that, adjusting my meds. He's doing his job. So his job is to get me to the heart cath lab, right? Once his job is done, he can go. So there I am strapped in the table at the heart cath lab. They're ready to start. And then before this guy leaves, he comes back over to me, touches me on the arm, and he says, hey, Pastor, would it be okay if I prayed with you? I was like, absolutely. You can pray with me. He went from being a flight medic to being a brother in Jesus just like that. Let me tell you, when you serve others and you put on display the goodness of Jesus Christ and God gets the glory, it makes all the difference. So if you really want to serve, you got to remember who you are. Let the Jesus in you show through wherever you are. Whatever you do, let the Jesus in you show through to the glory of God. If you want to serve, you need to know who you are. And then secondly, you need to know why you are here. You need to know why you are here. Look at verse 44. In verse 44, Jesus says, and whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of everyone else. You want to be a first, you got to be a slave. Now, you talk about upside down teaching. That's about as upside down as you can get. We hear that word slave creates all kinds of visceral reactions, as well it should. But you need to understand that this word is not talking about the same kind of horrendous slavery that existed in our own broken history. Even in the Roman world, one-third of the population were slaves. Another third were former slaves. There's actually mobility and movement in slavery in that word, the world. The word here is a bond servant, and it was a person whose very existence was for the purpose of serving another. The term was used both for voluntary service or those that were in a permanent position of servitude. But the interesting thing about this word, servant, this is the very word that tapped back into and mirrored all of the great heroes of faith. They were called slaves. They were called servants and bond servants of God. Abraham and Moses and Joshua and David and Isaiah, they were all called the servants of God. Now, that didn't mean that they didn't occasionally mess up, because listen, you know well enough that every one of them regularly messed up. But they lived a life of self-surrender and devotion. And that, my friends, was their path to greatness. It was in serving. And again, that's such radical thinking. It is upside down thinking. If you want to be first, you want to be the leader, if you want prominence, it comes through service. That's so backward. You see, in our world, we tend to live by what I call transactional relationship. It's characterized by two words, and those two words are this: if and then. If and then. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. How many relationships are built around that kind of thinking? How many marriages are built on that foundation? It is a transaction. It is a contract. And let me tell you, it is a recipe for disaster. Not if then. A life of service isn't focused on what am I going to get out of it. It just keeps coming back to the simple yet countercultural truth. Why am I here again? I am to serve, just like Jesus. Why am I here again? Oh, yeah. I am to serve, just like Jesus. I do not focus on what you're going to do for me. I just recognize what I'm supposed to do. Why am I here again? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to serve like Jesus. I am a bond servant. So, where do I do this? Only at church, right? We only have to do this at church, right? No. Everywhere you and Jesus go. Everywhere you and Jesus go. Why am I here? Oh, yeah. I am to serve. Now, listen, I've told you before, and I've confessed honestly, I'm not the greatest at this. I've not always done well at this, especially in my marriage. It was years and years into our marriage before I began figuring out, oh, yeah, I don't just have chores to do. I got to do chores. But I am to serve my bride. It was years before I learned, okay, I'm supposed to serve. When am I supposed to do that? Every day. Part of my everyday routine is now I want to start my day serving Diana. It may not be anything big. It may just be making sure the coffee's ready, or doing the dishes, or cleaning up the kitchen, or making the bed. Every day, I'm supposed to serve. Now, I remember when I first started recognize this, the thing that I really wanted is that when I served her, I wanted to make sure she noticed, right? And acknowledged it, right? And so I'd say, hey, babe, did you notice I did the dishes today? Hey, kitchen looks great, doesn't it? She was so good. She's like, yay, 30 years and you did the dishes. Yay, you're so good. No, she didn't do that. She never did that. Now I look at it and go, what a doofus. Yeah, cheer me on. I did the dishes. Yeah, no, whoop-de-doo. Oh, you do it too. Oh, yes, you do. Did you see what I did there? Real service is not about me. It's never about me. Why am I here? Oh, yeah. I'm a bond servant to Jesus. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 23. He said, the greatest among you must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Where do you do this? Just everywhere that you and Jesus go. Everywhere that you and Jesus go. How would that change your marriage? How would that change the workplace that God has placed you? How would that even revolutionize the consumeristic idea that permeates the church? Where are you serving? Where are you giving yourself away? I remind you, service is such a beautiful thing when you know why you're here. You know, over the last couple of months, I've shared with you a little bit about my parents have been in a significant decline, and there are many of you that have walked this path ahead of me, and you've seen it happen with your loved ones. One of the things that I've found that I've experienced in these months is just this incredibly deep awakening of gratitude for those people who care for my parents. Change their clothes when their clothes need to be changed. Help them feed themselves when they can't feed themselves. Encouraging them. Being patient with them. And let me tell you, every time I'm around any of those caregivers, I just can't help but just say, thank you so much for every little thing that you are doing for my mom and my dad. And I mean it. They remember who they are. And when you really serve, you are the blessing of God. So you got to know who you are. I'm a bond servant. Know why you're here. My job is to uplift. My job is to serve. And thirdly, you need to know what you are to do. What you are to do. Look at that last verse in verse 45. He says this, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." If you have your Bibles open, I would encourage you to circle that phrase, "Even the Son of Man, even the Son of Man, even Jesus came to serve." I think this is a not so subtle way of being bold and saying, hey, you think you're something? Do you understand that's your purpose too? Even Jesus lived this way. Maybe you do too. Literally everything I do in life is to be centered in this idea of service. In my marriage, my role is to serve. Yours too. Let me encourage you. Today's the first day you can sign up for Grace Marriage, and you ought to do it. You ought to make the investment and do it. Here at church, my role is to serve, and so is your role to serve. Now, you might recall a few months ago, we had a serve emphasis, and we rolled out that big yes board that you saw in the comments today. It outlines all kinds of places where you can serve through the church. I'm grateful to all of those who stepped up and stepped into service. And if you haven't found your place yet, let me encourage you, spend a little time at the yes board, then say yes and find a place where you can serve. Just as Jesus came to be a servant, so too we are to serve. In fact, Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, "There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." In other words, let me just paraphrase that. It means you were made for this. God made you for this. This is the way He knits you together. So where are you serving in the church? Have you found your spot? Start serving more. And listen, I'll tell you this. Try something. It's better than trying nothing. And if it's not the right fit, I give you permission to quit. Okay? Try something. You were made for this. But as we said last week, listen, it's not so much about all that happens in here in this building. It is really about what happens outside of here, out in the world, that makes the difference. Serving is so much more than filling a spot at church. You know that, right? Your service is so much more than that. Remember these words from the apostle? Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. He said, "Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ." I don't know why, but this was one of the verses in my family that my dad drilled down into me when I was a teenager. When I used to babysit, and I babysat a lot, he would tell me, "You're not just watching kids. You're serving Jesus." And when I mowed lawns, and I mowed a lot of lawns, Dad would tell me, "Listen, you're not just cutting somebody's grass, you're serving Jesus." And when I was a church custodian or a shoe salesman or washing dishes at Bamboo Garden, Dad would remind me, "Listen, all of those things you're doing that for Jesus." That was deeply embedded in me. I am to serve following the example of Jesus. And as I serve, in all of my serving, I am serving Jesus. Listen, in every area of life, the Jesus follower needs to get on with the task that he has laid before us. You are to serve more, because service makes a difference in a broken world. Has anybody noticed that our world is tragically broken? The hope is not the government. The hope is not education. The hope is the people of Jesus Christ, who, like our Messiah before us, lay down our lives in service and put on display the goodness of God. And the more broken our world becomes, the more your serving shines like the light of Jesus Christ. I tell you, the way up is always down in serving like Jesus. I love how the Apostle Paul put it this way in the book of Philippians. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, working together with one mind and purpose." He's talking about all of our relationships. And listen to what he says makes the difference. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. Do you hear it? A slave. He was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. He died a criminal's death on the cross. And therefore, God elevated him to a place of highest honor. And he gave him a name that is above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I tell you, the way up is down. Serve just like him. That makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. And just in case you didn't know, I need to tell you, Paul is writing about what Jesus did for you. What he did for you, he is God Almighty, and he stepped into the role of a slave. He was the only one without sin, and he took my sin, and he took your sin. He was the only one who was free from the penalty of death, and yet he surrendered to death on a cross. And he did this thinking of you, acting for you, serving you in order that he might save you. And listen, this is the thought that hit me this week. Have you ever thought that it just might be in your serving that someone is saved? That's what it's all about. Inside this house, outside this house, serving is the business of saving. So I call you to serve more. Say yes to Jesus and say yes to serving him. Would you pray with me? God in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son who came into this world to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And what a beautiful picture of sacrificial service he is. He was the one who told us that greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend, and he calls us friend. May we likewise say to Jesus, "I'm here, I'm available, I choose you, I'm going to start by taking the first step, and I'm going to start taking the next step. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.